This is tape recording number 7101C23, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 23rd of January, 1971. The title of this lecture is How to Post an Org. Copyright 1971 by L. Ron Hubbard in the United Kingdom. Copyright 1978 by L. Ron Hubbard in the USA. All rights reserved. Unauthorized duplication, translation, importation, and distribution is a violation of applicable laws. This tape is 64 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Hello. In view of the fact that the lectures the other day were popular, we decided we would repeat the performance. Just for your special benefit. It's the 23rd of January, AD 21, FEBC flag. Now, the reason why I want to talk to you, however, is not just to see your pleasant, smiling faces, which I am always happy to see, but because having cleared up this thing called a product officer, we are, as you would suppose, up against the next barricade. Now, the product officer, first product, is an org officer. The org officer's first product is an HCOAS. The HCO area secretary's first product is an HCO. And the first product of the HCO is the establishment. Imagine my horror during the last 72 hours to find I was dealing with people who didn't know what an establishment was. Horror. And I think it's because people get their attention stuck on bodies. Now, many years ago, we used to have some drills, which were extremely interesting, which was pat your body and feel your body and look at your body and look around the room and look at your body. You know that sort of thing? I think you'll have to run it because all I find out an establishment consists of is some bodies. That, of course, would make a mortuary the ideal establishment. Now, this is so gross that I think, actually, it's one of those points that has to be cleared on an org officer. Because until some of these points were cleared, we did not find operation by the org officer effective at all. And when these, we already have a little case history on that, when this point was cleared, and why then it started to work out very well. So we've had a positive and a negative run on this, and the positive run in the Flag Bureau was good, and the run actually that has occurred in the Tech Division, FAO, just now, was not good by a long way. But what happened was, we were letting the Flag Bureau clarification of these points go along to see if they worked out, and since that time, why they have worked out. And it has not been cleared up in the FAO, or the, that's the Flag Admin Org, or the FAO Division 4, that's the Tech Division. It has not been cleared up in that sector, and it is running, you wouldn't believe it. So therefore, what I'm talking to you about is of very great importance. It is not slight, and the reason I call this lecture so suddenly was, as I say, not to look at your bright and smiling faces, but to give you some information which you cannot live without. If you try to reuse this product org officer system without this data, you're going to come a cropper as an executive director, a CO, or a product officer, or an org officer, or an HCO sec, or an HCO, and not know why it all isn't working somehow. But it is something on the order of the auditor has forgotten to turn on his e-meter. I mean, it's a grossness, but it apparently is something that needs pointing out. It is something that needs clearing, and it's something that needs drilling. Now, the product officer can get confused enough in trying to differentiate between his job and his org officer's job because, of course, he has a legion of problems and so on which are bouncing up along his lines. He will find himself, however, running on a short-term cope for products, and his products will get worse, and he will have more and more trouble, and he will get very exhausted, and he'll eventually say, this system doesn't work somehow, and it's too exhausting, and it's too horrible, and he won't be able to sleep at night, and will be found prowling the streets or sitting in parks with his head in his hands, with overloads and ARC breaks, which can't be audited because he's too exhausted. The product officer, Flag Bureau, and I had a talk about this when we saw, in the wee small hours of the morning, when we saw that there was something wrong with this lineup. And we discussed it and kicked it back and forth and used the practical experiences and applications which we had already had with regard to it. And we finally isolated it. And this is apparently it. You see, we found the why. And now, when we applied the why, did it all work out? And the answer is yes. So I'm giving you a valid, tested result. Now, this why can't be just brushed off as an org officer's ignorance of organization or something of this sort. This is no shame, blame, regret on the org officer side of it. It is just, what does the org officer have to know? And what does he have to do? Because, you see, he could know 100 million details. And he actually doesn't have to. The way we were clarifying this originally is the org officer was the cheerleader. Well, that shifted your gears in a hell of a hurry, didn't it? Now, well, the org consists of bodies and hats. Take a look at this. He's a cheerleader. Now, in our orgs particularly, we're taking care of the problems of the world. Well, who takes care of our people? The org officer. When they're overloaded and sick and caved in and need somebody to hold their hands, who is it? It's the org officer, naturally. When they're underpaid and overworked, who handles it? It's the org officer, naturally. But to do this kind of thing, the org officer has to have, it isn't that he's just a chaplain, far from it. But that is one of the things he'd have to do, and that was the original little see-through. We all of a sudden saw through in discussing it, this point of where the org officer might fail. The org officer, in communication continuously with the product officer, he would go right ahead and pick up the speed of trying to get it organized in order to keep up with the product officer, that is for sure. And he actually should sort of run along ahead. We're going to increase the load on this division. Production is going up. Well, the org officer should be in ahead of that. Like your heavy traffic warning. The first one to pick that up would be the org officer, not the product officer. That would be after the fact. So if the org officer does not pick this up in the first place, ahead of the product officer, you will get a sequence of booms and depressions. which will consist of this. Overload, lines break, somehow or other put it together, somehow, and overload, lines break, so on, because there's no rule that every time loads increase, why those points of your organization which are weak blow up. And we've been observing that here for a long time. So the org officer is there to do product three, which is the correction of the establishment, preferably before the fact, and certainly swiftly after the fact. And the org's org officer is there for that purpose, and the org officer of a division is there for that purpose, and he's a product three man. You say, yeah, well, what do you mean product three? There are four products. One, product one, establishment, establishing the establishment. Product two is the product of the establishment. It's what does the establishment produce. Product three is the correction of the establishment itself, and product four is the correction of the product. Now, these are just arbitrary figures, and you could figure it all out backwards, and actually should do your org board backwards, and you could rename all of these things, but these are in numbers, and so on, but just recognize what they are. They're simply the sequential numbers, more or less in order of writing the bulletin. I mean, there isn't any particular reason for those numbers. You could say, well, they're 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. So there is no point, actually, in discussing the chicken and the egg problem. What comes first, the establishment or the product? What comes first? Well, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's pretty obvious. Pretty obvious that the egg came first, isn't it? Well, the egg would have to come first because otherwise there would have been a missing sequence that arrived at the chicken. So we've solved that ancient problem. We would have, just look over your data series, perfectly true, there would have been omitted points of sequence and an altered sequence of events if the chicken came first. Quite obvious. So actually, probably the product, however, does come first. A fellow goes out and he gets some leather, and he brings the leather in, gets an old kitchen knife, and so on. He cuts himself a pair of sandals, and somebody else wants some sandals, so he grounges some more leather, and he cuts that up. And eventually, while making money from making sandals, he is able to purchase a better knife, and he can lay in more raw materials. But that better knife is when he starts into establishment. And then he gets an awl, and he's got more establishment, hasn't he? And he himself is gaining more expertise in how to do this, so of course that is more establishment. And gradually, out of the product, arrives the establishment. And the funny part of it is it's perfectly true. You could probably take $100,000, establish an org in New York City, and it would promptly fail. We've done it. You wonder why we always insist that an org make its own way. And every once in a while, we've only had a couple of these in recent years. Somebody puts in a proposal that Flag pay $3,000 a week to support this org while it got on its feet. And we've had a couple like that. And believe me, if you want to run something backwards, do that. That's all great. Now, of course, big factories do this all the time. And they don't own themselves anymore. They're all owned by the bank. I wonder how they lost the whole lousy lot. Well, they just did it backwards, that's all. And Mr. Henry Ford starts with a bicycle factory and winds up with a Ford Motor Company. which winds up with a lot of subsidiaries, so that the Ford Motor Company at any time might establish a subsidiary with the cash it has at hand, and it goes on and manufactures things. And I notice, though, as time goes on, the more the reserves are taken out of the Ford Motor Company to establish a subsidiary to do this, that, or the other thing, why, the less stockholders get and the less belong to Mr. Ford. He isn't even there anymore. The point I'm making is there is no point at which the flow can be reversed. So therefore, you could say that product one is really the product. You see, there would be good reason for reversing this numbering. The product, the establishment, and so on. However, it is as it is. Number one is the establishment as a product. Number two is the product of the establishment. If you want to work all this out, why, just look at a generator or something like that for a while, and it'll all evolve. And then, of course, you have to correct the establishment, and then you have to correct the product. It's easier to take it odd numbers, org officer, and even numbers, product officer. So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? The egg came first, and always will come first, and it's economically unsound not to have a first, the egg as first. In other words, two is always primary and senior. But it's properly numbered after all, because to get anything, you have to work backwards. You actually do. You have to figure it all out backwards. So that numbering system presses this point home. If you want to work out an organization, take its product and then work backwards, and you will wind up with the org board. And if you take the org board and write it up, you haven't got any product, you aren't going to have any product, and you didn't have any product, and you aren't going to have any product, and that is all. You got an org board, you got a bad, heavy payroll, you got a this and that. Org after org after org is sitting out there, and because we have delivered an org board, they put up this org board, but if they had to really work it out, they would figure out what their product was and work backwards to their org board. But we can give them the org board that they should wind up with, but it is posted backwards. An org board is always posted backwards. It is not posted in such a way as we put a name on a post. There's a post, so we put somebody on it. There's a post, so we put somebody on it. So there's a post, so we put somebody on it. That is not how, and is actually pointed out in your OEC, is an absolutely fatal way to go about it. And you wind up probably with a government that governed nobody and nothing. So what do you actually do to put together an org board, even when you have one handed you? You post the personnel who get the product. And if you were organizing an org, you would put on these posts. All right, why? See, now let me give you the valuable products. The basic valuable products of an org are auditors, pre-clears, and money. They're the final valuable products that are the obvious ones. There are some additional ones, but these certainly are the obvious ones. So therefore, you work it backwards. You don't post an HCOES, OES, PES in a three-man org who don't also work. Somebody could hold these posts, but it would have to be posted backwards. We'd have to put on an auditor or auditors to make the pre-clears. You'd have to put on the course supervisors to make the auditors, and then you'd have to put on somebody to get the people to collect the money. Now, if we went at this very straightforwardly, we find that in what I just told you, there's a slight altered sequence of events. So, I'll just show you how neat this is. You would, of course, put on a course supervisor. And you'd put on somebody, even if it was the course supervisor, to get some students to pay to be trained. That gives you the money. And then you'd put on some auditors who had been so trained in order to process PCs who are procured, and that gives you some money. And then you train more auditors, and you get some money, and you've now got auditors who can process more PCs, which gives you some money. And so you can buy broader promotion in order to more broadly bring people in to be trained. So you've got this time, you've got to have somebody hot on the promotion line. You get how we're posting this thing now? And one of the little secrets of org failures is they don't post the course supervisor first. He's posted as an afterthought. And then they don't bother to deliver the course because it isn't a primary posted action. And so, of course, they don't get any auditors who can audit, so that when they bring in PCs, they don't get audited. And then people don't pay money for no service on the course and no service from the auditors, so, of course, you run out of money and it goes backwards. Because it wasn't posted backwards. Posted backwards. Now, when we say somebody to train a course, we want a course supervisor, not somebody that once heard of something. When we audit people, we want an auditor. What is an auditor? An auditor is somebody who obtains flubless results. Right now, about 50% of the field auditors, maybe not that great a percentage, we haven't done a survey, but it seems like that with cases coming back. Why, the walls down there in Flag Qual would be charred. Absolutely charred. We're going at a level of certainty which does not say, well, of course, the reason why the session or the PC is reasonable, explains easily. I mean, married a long time ago and probably still PTS to somebody in Nero's time, you know. So, of course, there's nothing you can do about it and so on. And the reason that the chain didn't defend, that the examiners didn't defend, that the auditors end because it's a narrative or something, but that doesn't have anything to do it because nobody knows what a narrative schematic is. And so now let us go over this again. If you want an org, you would post it backwards. You would post a course supervisor, not somebody to not be there. Now, he would have to have the materials, wouldn't he? And then when we gild the lily here, we'd have to have somebody counting the noses of students as they walked in and out of the door and have folders for them and so forth. So we'd have to have some administrative check on all of this to find out if they were coming to class at all. So we would build it up from product to org officer. Now, the product comes first. But to get the product, you have to have organization. So we're back the other way around again. Chicken came first. If you were to crash in a spaceship on a god-awful desolate planet, and you were faced with having to build the entire civilization He would probably have to start with a sharp rock. Right? And from that, over a considerable period of time, why, you would eventually get the metal that bubbles out of the stones that are parked around the fire and have copper. Now, those are the long spans. But even though you might look at this prospect and sigh, and even though you might have done this, there is no reason why it cannot be done, providing you start with the sharp rock. In other words, there is some place to start. Now, when you get to a product org officer line, you get this on your bing-bing. Now, somebody's got to get some potential students who want to be trained, who will pay for the training. But the moment that that action starts, the org officer, anticipating a traffic flow, has got to have procured at that moment a course supervisor and the materials that the students will be taught, and the tape recorders and the tapes and the folder supplies and the room with a roof over it so the students don't get rained on, and the chairs and the tables and the clock and the schedule. Hey, you say, what's this product officer doing all this time? Well, if the org officer's that overburdened, he's putting in a product one, isn't he? He's putting in a product one all that time. So he better unload product one, because he'll find it very rapidly an overburden. So he forms his first embryonic action of an HCO, even if he just does it by dividing his hat. Product 1 belongs to HCO, it belongs to the org officer's product, HCOAS. So what's the org officer do? Well, he got rid of it. He got rid of it. And somebody's putting the establishment there. Well, yeah, but you say the Treasury actually buys this stuff and other things, and bookstore orders this stuff, and it's all ordered up and down the org, and you haven't gone to the org. No. Product 1, the establishment of the establishment, belongs to HCO. Yeah, but the org officer got rid of that, didn't he? You got somebody there to put in the establishment. So what's he do? He's even got to get a registrar and somebody there to pull the students in and put this thing together. But that belongs to HCO, doesn't it? So that's immediately the HCO sort of thought. So what does this org officer do? Well, product one is his responsibility. But having taken that responsibility, he passes it over to somebody. So what's that leave him with? It leaves him with product 3, the correction of the establishment. It leaves him with, and the chairs don't arrive, he gets some there. He calls the local funeral parlor and has them rent some right away. And brings over, boom, boom. Meanwhile, telling his establishment officer, HCOAS, you got some chairs. Buy some chairs. So He doesn't have anybody to operate as a course administrator because just nobody wandered in and it wasn't established and so forth. That's a three then, isn't it? So he has a friend of his or somebody that's standing around with his mouth open and so forth, suddenly finds himself kidnapped and on that post, and there's a dreadful row about this because the person's actually the director of disbursement. If he's director of disbursement, what the hell was he doing standing there? Good question. And that's the org officer's rebuttal. The assignment of the course administrator, the hiring of somebody, the putting of somebody there, under, of course, the pressure of the org's org officer, is, of course, the HCO job. So what do we actually get here? There are some other areas that have something to do with this establishment. There's the State Bureau. Well, hell, we don't have any State Bureau yet. We haven't even glued up an org board. So it must belong to what we call HCO. The HCO generates the number one establishment. What's it consist of? It consists of the establishment. But what is an establishment? And right away, we start to get into the basis of our deepest misunderstood. You ask almost anybody what an org consists of, you'll say, well, it consists of some people and it consists of some hats. And boy, that is about the faintest statement that anybody ever made under God's green earth. You've got to beat this out and recognize it for real. What does an org consist of? What does an organization consist of? What is this thing called an establishment? We can go on and on and on and on and on. But it has very specific things. If you don't have a place to do this action, you will be training people in the rain or the snow or something. So if an org just consists of some people, why, they're going to be awfully wet people. If it consists of some packs, they're certainly not going to be protected from the weather. There's got to be some safeguarded or protected space there. It's got to have a roof over it. It's got to have doors and windows and floors. And that contains what? Now, I could go on and rattle off a list here of what, but I can give you certainly the basics it consists of. The tables, chairs, the desk, supplies, the paper clips, the staplers, the comm baskets, the labels, the machinery, the typewriters, the address machines, the CF file cabinets, the CF folders, the content of the CF folders filed in them. It would consist of hats, and it would consist of packs and tape recorders, and it would consist of its various commercial contacts that set it up, and it would consist of, you get the idea, you start looking around, all of a sudden your eyes will open, your attention of anybody you're trying to break in as an org officer will come off of this thing called a body. That's the establishment. Now you say here, well, yeah, of course it's the ship, naturally, and of course that's under the ship org. Oh, yeah? It's under what of the ship org? There must be somebody over there establishing a ship. So this is all very interesting. Now that's when you get very sophisticated indeed. Up to the time that it's all out, it's all up to HCO. Somebody walks into HCO and says, where's the pack? Say, but you only got one person. See? You say, well, you're Division 2 today, too. Finishes that. Yeah, you got two hats. Where's the packs? Yes, well, you see, and we wrote a letter, and at that moment the org officer says, God, damn it to hell. Now, he deletes that because you must be nice. Remember your parents. A dispatch is not a product, and it never will be, and it never will get us anything, and it is not anything that ever establishes anything. It is not a doingness. It is a gesture. And the first guy that says, well, I sent a dispatch to HCO. I'll tell you an exact situation of personnel who is facing internally. Here, you see, we have an internal-external situation, and that applies to CLOs. There's internal-external. Your org officer actually is operating a little more broadly in a CLO to establish the establishment, unless your CLO's HCO is competent to keep it established, because the org officer is operating internally, but the product officer in a CLO or on the flag bureau is operating externally. It's a slightly different situation than you'll find in an org, because in an org, directly or in the FAO here, both the org and product officer are operating more or less internally. Their attention is internal. Now, it's very funny when you have a personnel whose attention is external to the org and internal to the org simultaneously, he tends to go bonkers. We've already analyzed this, and we've had a lot of experience with this. The guy whose attention's out there and in there. The guardian's office, for instance, at this moment, as I speak, has heroically acceded to our pleas so that we could teach an FEBC and hold the fort in all over the world, and it's much broader than you imagine, has loaded onto itself a great many internal concerns. It's also trying to hold the fort externally. Well, they can't do that very long. That's why you are getting pressure here. Because the guardian's office will probably be holding the org, or the CLO out there will be holding the org until trained personnel get back to that org. And it's not much mentioned to students because it would harass them and put them under a worry and a stress. So I'm telling you, speed up. Actually, the guardian's office at this exact moment, all over the world, is holding its breath, waiting for the FEBCs to come back, because they're holding internal actions. Now, they're an external group. It wasn't the guardian's office in this instance, but I was just telling you the difference between external and internal. Their attention is out into the public. Their tech is with the ARC broken PC out there in the public, not in the org. So, the person I was speaking to had permitted, who was an external personnel, I found was holding several internal hats. And I said, what action have you taken to fill the vacant post? And she said, unfortunately, I have repeatedly written a dispatch to HCO. That's what that chart mark is right there, my reply. We'll get the stewards to polish it out. And my order to her was, you go down to the personnel files, and you look through these personnel files until you find somebody who is suitable, who is not holding a key post, and you take that person and put that person on that post. And the reason I did this is I'm talking to a key personnel whose product is too valuable to be monkeyed with, and who was permitting herself to have an internal attention. Actually, probably a great dealer percentage of her time was being occupied internally. Now, that's not the guardian's office, but in the guardian's office matter and so on, why the Mary Sue is saying, where are the FEBCs? Where are the FEBCs? Where are they? They're perfectly willing to handle this sort of a situation. Once you've got policy knowledge and other actions of one kind or another in the guardian's office at this moment, holding posts of temporary executive director, USGO is holding a post, his communicator is holding a post in D.C. or was till a very short time ago, and so on, and they're spread thin. They're controlling all of Africa right now. And actually, we're telexing for help here within the last week or so. So this is an external-internal strain. So you've got to figure out which is your external and which is your internal personnel. So you do have external personnel. Who's your registrar? Now, your registrar is working for people to come in and take that course so that they can become auditors. Right? So she's got time to monkey around with how the files are or are not straight. You want to cut your income to pieces? Take an external-facing personnel and give them internal distractions. Now, that goes broader than that. You want to cut your products to pieces? Take an org officer who isn't anticipating or running before the product officer with load lines. Because your product officer will have his attention yanked over onto the subject of organization. Now, just as there's external, internal, there is the organization of things and the production of things. The production of things is, of course, totally dependent upon the clear-cut organization of things. But the funny part of it is you can produce without a clear-cut organization, and one of the ways of stalling a whole org is to go into 100% organized. You go into 100% organized, you'll choke it down every time. You organize while you produce is the proper sequence. And you produce while you organize is actually much closer to the truth. Now, when you look over this team of the product officer, org officer, you find out that the org officer has to have a fantastically clear idea, and so does an HCOAS have to have a fantastically clear idea of exactly what an establishment consists of. Now, this idea that I'm talking about is just like this. What does it consist of? Well, it consists of a building or rooms or auditing rooms or desks, typewriters, of supplies, of personnel, of hats, hatting actions, and so on. The whole thing, the whole bang shoot. And if they don't have a total grip on what is an establishment, the org officer will not be able to back up the product officer because he will never detect a decline. He won't see it as a departure from the existing scene. It isn't necessarily staticized. You know, the roof falls in. There's no stat for the roof falling. But it is a departure from the ideal scene, I assure you. So, therefore, the first requisite of an org officer is not necessarily a verbatim knowledge of the OEC, but the definition and the extent of and everything that there is in this thing called an establishment. And not only that, but what is everything in this particular establishment? Just like that. Now comes his knowledge of the OEC. Because that tells him how it ought to go together and how it ought to run. Now, along with that is apparently you cannot ever have sensible hiring or personnel posting in an organization unless there is a list of all of the essential hats and duties of those hats in the organization, which is just a mini list. It's not even a mini list, an instant hat list. What do these people on these posts do? No one in personnel can function at all in personnel unless he has such a list. And where does one exist right now? There is no such list, not even in the most sophisticated personnel offices anyplace. What is this job? Well, very often you'll get some big corporation and it'll have some personnel thing and so on, but you won't find that list. They'll say, get me a shop foreman. So they look around to find somebody who has been a shop foreman. Now, why do they do that nonsense? It's actually because they couldn't for the life of them define what are the duties of a shop foreman. That might only take three sentences to lay out what the duties of a shop foreman are. But you won't find anybody posting personnel at all sensibly or hiring sensibly unless they have a pretty good idea of exactly what each post does. Just in the last 24 hours, I've run into it aboard here. You wouldn't believe it. I just tried to do a posting to fill in suddenly. Somebody had a class 10 as a requisite to somebody to file folders and to hand them out to people when the name was on the list. You won't believe that. I'm not being critical of this because we're just forming up. What the hell do you want a class 10 for? Well, you see, the duties of that post you're trying to post there, the duties of that post are, and so forth, will holds the CS conference with the auditor. Holds what conference? Well, the CS's conference, you see, with the auditors, is held by the DFP. Whose conference? The CS's conference with the auditors is held by the DFP. You got the point. Now, once upon a time, the DFP had as part of his hat CSing. But we have a CS, and I would like to see a Class 10 DFP who was not acquainted with the CS line of the various cases trying to hold a conference with the auditors auditing those PCs. That would really be a clown performance. It wouldn't matter how much tech this fellow would know. He is not the CS. So the only person who could hold a CS conference or a CS's conference would, of course, be the CS. But we weren't trying to post a CS. We have a CS. We're trying to post a DFP who would make up the programming of the auditors and the PCs lists to hand to tech services. And to interview some of the people who were being audited who very often have questions and walk around in mystery as to why that's being done. There's nobody, a CS right now, can say, a little side note, contact this guy. You can have the examiner say, what did the auditor do? But you can't say, contact this guy and clarify what his program is, what his auditing program is. It takes the mystery out of it. Well, that's what you have to do on public lines, and because we're not handling actually public lines, why that function had dropped out. But it still leaves a whole bunch of little mysteries. When am I ever going to get audited? What rundown am I on? You see? Guy goes into session with his jaw dropped, so he's audited with the mystery rude out. You get the idea? Why, it's just because there's no DP post. Well, it's a little trick to it. Now, if confidential materials were at question, that would be something else, but the confidential materials were not at question. The person selected was of the class necessary to handle confidential materials. Also, was a trained auditor. There were two such people available, idle, with nothing whatsoever to do, in that very department. Not auditing, not anything. Either one of them quite capable of performing this duty. And somebody had to have a Class 10 auditor to perform this duty. I wouldn't know why. Another duty is to hand the list to a tech page and get the folders together, tech services, see? Hand the list to the tech page so that he can do this list and get the folders of these PCs together and give them to the other. This post couldn't be filled, I think, because the person was slow or something by reputation. That's nonsense. Now, the situation arose by overload. These are actual org product officer situations. The situation arose by overload. The traffic line went way up in volume. The stat was going way up in volume. The predict would be that these lines will break. And they broke. The product officer of that division became ill. The tech services chief of that division, overloaded and with insufficient help, went to bed with a temperature of 100, leaving the post empty. But my effort to fill the post on a high express action, 72 hours after the first order that the post must be bolstered up fast, was being done on dispatch lines during that entire period. Dispatch lines. What the hell? I suppose the world has lost feet because it's an automotive age. And when the person was put on the post, somebody in HCO developed a policy that any PC's mail incoming should be opened and read in case it might interpolate the PC. And the person put on the post, which is supposed to hand out the folders and the list, was opening and censoring student mail in the tech division, which is totally, completely off-hat and illegal. At that moment, there were loud explosions all the way along the line. The person put on the other post was doing the tech services job because there wasn't anybody there to do it. In other words, it scrambled up in a mess. Now, this is the consequence of not predicting a traffic flow in an organization which is just forming. Now, when you have an organization just forming, the many outnesses which are presented to you can completely confuse an org officer. And at that time, as at no other time, must the org officer adhere to product 3, correction of the establishment, and leave the establishment to someone to get that one. Get product 1. And in a fast-running organization, the total duty of an org officer is arresting a decline. Product 3. Halting a decline. Or a threatened decline. So actually, it works this way. When the product officer finds himself correcting the establishment's product, which is 4, this passes at once to 3, who may have it in hand already. That makes an org officer somebody with a crystal ball, doesn't it? I'll tell you just in a moment how he doesn't have to run it with a crystal ball. But it's almost a crystal ball job. By the time the product officer says, "A student coming off the line, all seem to be limping in their left foot, when I talk to them and ask them why they don't go write a success story, they sort of look down at their feet and limp off. I think you ought to go in and see what materials they are being taught by whom, because I've got some inkling of this, because I saw some textbooks on yogi lying around the classroom." Now, if that team is really functioning, of course, I'm giving it to you as a ridiculous pitch, as well as exposing some of my shames here. Believe me, it's being straightened out. Things will get straightened out here much more fast than it straightens out. They can go longer and get straightened out faster than anybody you ever saw in your life. But the org officer at working on Product 3, Correction of Establishment. If he was very good, would be able to say to the product officer, yes, I spotted that yesterday. We have immediately somebody coming in here from San Francisco that used to be in New York, and so on. He's taking over as course supervisor. And as a matter of fact, a COMEV has already been convened on a course administrator for crossing practices. And if you walk into class at this moment, you will find one of the HGC auditors who is an HDG at 2 o'clock took over the class. They'd be a very lucky product officer, wouldn't it? Really on the ball. A little bit ahead of. A little bit ahead of is what the org officer, that's where the org officer belongs, anticipating the traffic flow. Anticipating their sags, anticipating this sort of thing by reason of the actions of the product officer. So the product officer had to keep the org officer pretty well informed as to what was going on. Therefore, the product officer is always making notes, anything he runs into, and after he's handled a kerfluffle, he always writes it up. No matter how briefly, he makes notes of this kerfluffle, and he passes the thing over, and he usually indicates the organizational action. Now, I don't know if I'm clarifying it for you to any great degree, because you may not believe me. It's just that you may not believe the important point that I'm trying to put across. You may believe you have, if you're operating as an executive director, product officer, you may have, you may think you have somebody. It's not possible for you to believe completely, probably, because it assaults your common sense, and that's what you want to watch, boy. Common sense to you may appear like complete screaming genius to somebody else. It breaks down on the inability of the org officer to define, locate, and establish everything in the establishment, including the duties of every hat in the establishment. And if you're going round in circles as to why you can't operate or why your product officer can't operate, that is the first flaw. So you clear it. You can actually clear it in terms of reach and withdraw from typewriters and reach and withdraw from staff members. Now, we're not talking in a theoretical line now, because when we had this conversation that clarified this point and that gave us a win on the thing, I'm not being down on org officers at all. I mean, this is the truth of the thing, and this is what was fouling up the line. All right, we get in the product officer's duties. The product officer has to be able to recognize his product, bang, that he's trying to get. He has to recognize that it is a product of the establishment. He has to be able to recognize that. He has to be able to get that thing out. That's what he's working on. He has to want that product. The two monitoring laws is he has to recognize it and he has to want it. And the action is that he has to get it. Doesn't even say how. Actually, he has to know more about the organization than the org officer, really. But where you will get a breakdown will just be on this other thing, this other point. It's just a failure, actually, to embrace what is this thing called an establishment. Because if the establishment itself is not embraced, then no ideal scene could possibly be conceived of, and therefore the org officer would not be able to spot a departure from the ideal scene so as to arrest its decline. And he's just in the first business of arresting declines and passing along back to the person who are responsible for the establishment itself and establishing the establishment what will be required in, as an establishment. Now, therefore, he can get this thing back up to an ideal scene. But he's working on three. Now, what is product three? Three is the product which corrects the establishment. Three is the correction of the establishment, and it is itself a product. It's a correction. An Orgorg officer who doesn't work on product three constantly and continuously and so forth will find that the decline of an organization is not arrested. And an organization will run, and your GDSs will all go up, and your GI will all go up, and everything will go fine, and then all of a sudden, a GDS tails off, and all of a sudden, another GDS will tail off, and all of a sudden, the GI goes boom, and your organization goes all to pieces, and you wonder what the hell happened. And what you've hit is an unanticipated expansion which sought and found and exploited every weakness in the organization, and it blew up. And that is the reason for booms and depressions of orgs. The booms and depressions of orgs is as they expand beyond their tolerance level of handling. The increased volume finds all their weak points, blows them up. Staff members become overloaded, overworked. They can't cope with it anymore. The lines are just too much. Things are too internally. Blah. Human emotion has gotten in your road. Oh, my God. And somebody says, I think I'll go back to Australia and sit under a eucalyptus tree. Because I'm going mad. What happened is there was nobody watching product three and detecting and remedying the points of decline. And patching them up and pushing them in to the people responsible for the establishment so they could hire it up, beef it up, add it up, equip it up. HCO, actually, as the org board sits at this moment, would seem to be totally incapable of putting an establishment there because it has several things that are not under its preview. That ought to be remedied. But HCO could remedy it right now because they can order. They can order the other parts of the organization. They've got a time machine to make sure the order is complied with. We predict at this rate of expansion that we will have used up all existing space of this building by July, which is 5 months from now. You find us a new building and you guys promoting and so forth, fix it up so there's every Sunday meetings, teas and so forth after we move. But you find us a building and so on. That is not the org officer's action. It's the org officer's spot. But it's the org officer's order that something be done about this. We need a bigger establishment. And that's going to shatter everything along the lines and so forth. So the decline of the establishment is arrested by ordering bigger space and more staff members. But then somebody has got to figure out how to put this bigger establishment in there. So the order is simply that to arrest the decline, it is necessary for you to expand the space of the establishment. Economically, so that it does not eat up everything that you are going to make by the expansion.
This lecture is continued on FEBC number 6 and is entitled The Org Officer and His Resources, Part 1.